North Point. To my buddy, it's afternoon because I'm from the East Coast, but it's good to be with you this morning. Even though I grew up knowing that my grandparents had been missionaries in Kenya and hearing stories from my dad about literally being chased up trees by elephants, the concept of being a missionary was kind of remote and pretty abstract for me. I had the sense that maybe many of you this morning have, that being a missionary is something that a small group of radical Christians do. And I lived in the comfortable suburbs of Sydney, Australia, and that wasn't for me. So there's a sense of God's goodness and a sense of irony and providence in the fact that I stand before you this morning, and one of the hats, as Pastor Brent said, that I wear is as a missionary, getting ready to go and serve with Reach Global in Costa Rica. But the emphasis of my message this morning is not going to specifically address what God is doing in my family's journey, although I greatly look forward to being with you tonight to share in some more detail about that. My focus this morning is on how you can live on God's mission here in Corona, California. You see, the scriptures teach clearly that that young boy in Australia with a stronger accent had some things right as I heard those stories. Not everyone is called to be a missionary by occupation, but every believer is called to be on God's mission by preoccupation. Not every believer is called to be a missionary by occupation, but every believer is called to be on the mission of God, about the gospel mission of God, by preoccupation, something that wakes us up in the night, something that keeps us going through the week. And what I have to share with you this morning is focused on stoking the gospel fire of that preoccupation in each one of us, no matter how you, in your particular context, cross cultures with the gospel. And so we'll look at this book of Jonah here in a few moments. And before we do, I want to ask you a question. Whether you've ever noticed how our response to grace is often driven by the object of that grace. So when we're rushing to get our kids somewhere, or we're rushing to get through traffic to get to the office, and we're the one who cuts in line in traffic, we're thankful. We give a little polite, nervous wave, and we move on with our lives. What a gracious moment that was. When we're late, behind on a deadline maybe, and we get a reprieve from that deadline, that's grace, and I'm thankful. But when it's someone else getting that grace, when it's someone else experiencing that grace and maybe it affects us, we can be outraged. I'm sure there's one or two here, you drive in Southern California, who've seen someone skirt around the outside and cut in line, and you've said a little prayer for that person, right? you've said, that's outrageous. What's wrong with that person? That's so unjust. I wish they'd get a ticket for that or hit by a truck or something, right? That God might, you know, adjust their hearts. How we respond to grace is driven by the object of that grace. And the central message of my sermon this morning is really that answering the scriptural call to cross cultures with the gospel, and as I said, I believe that's a calling on each of our lives for those who trust Jesus, requires an attitude of grace toward those who are different than us, and it requires a desire to see them experience grace even when it costs us. So at this time, if you want to open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, I'm going to give you a very brief introduction to the book of Jonah and the way in which it drives into this final chapter of the book that we'll be opening together. It really is a book, isn't it? It's a short book, and it's a book that's really known for one chapter and really possibly one image, a wayward prophet getting swallowed by a fish, right? It's something that resonates with children and adults alike. But really, the book as a whole, including that image, is about God's sovereignty and mercy being displayed and people responding to God's grace and his mercy. And so we see, and I think we have these references on the slide here, we see God's powerful activities within the book of Jonah. He hurls a great wind. The image is of God throwing the wind down on the waves when Jonah is on his way to Tarshish. He appoints a great fish. God is the one who sends this fish that will swallow Jonah. And he speaks to the fish to have the fish kind of vomit Jonah up on the beach. God's mercy is also on display. After Jonah is thrown into the water, the sailors see this calm sea emerges again. He appoints the fish to save Jonah. He answers Jonah's call, as it says in chapter 2. Salvation belongs to God, as it says in chapter 2, verse 9. And he relents from punishing Nineveh in chapter 3, verse 10, just before the text we'll be going through together this morning. And we see some different responses to God's grace and his sovereignty. We see the sailors, even at the very beginning of the book, in chapter 1, verse 6, saying, perhaps the God will hear us. Here, experienced seamen seeing an unknown storm that has them scared, and they say, we'll go to God, and perhaps he'll hear us. They beg for deliverance in chapter 1, verse 14. In fear, they offer sacrifice and rejoice in what God has done in chapter 1, verse 16. And then in chapter 2, Jonah himself in the belly of the fish offers thanksgiving and praise for his deliverance from the storm and for who God is. And then in chapter 3, we have some really distinct responses which will frame the text we're going to go through this morning. In chapter 3, verse 3, this disobedient prophet finally obeys God and goes to Nineveh. Immediately, the text kind of directs us to that. And then the people of Nineveh respond to the word of God by begging for deliverance. Now, Jonah's encounter, as we'll see this morning, leaves the ugliness of his sin exposed. It displays the greatness of God's character and his grace and shows us how even the most obedient and successful Christians need to carefully examine their hearts in light of the gospel for areas in need of repentance. And this is what I call the missionary mirror. And my prayer this morning is that God would work through this missionary mirror in the hearts of believers here at North Point to enable you to be doers, as it says in James 1, not